This is Solidarity News on Radio Labour.
Hello, I'm Marc Boulanger. One of the ways multinational corporations hold power over free trade deals is by the use of secretive courts in investor-state dispute systems, known by their acronym ISDS. These systems have allowed corporations to sue governments because they have raised the minimum wage in a country or implemented plain packaging provisions for cigarettes. To find out more about ISDS, I talked to Nick Crook. Mr. Crook is the head of international relations for the UK Union Unison. The UK is negotiating a free trade deal with Australia that Unison is hoping will not include an ISDS. I asked Mr. Crook to explain what an ISDS is.
The name says it all, in effect. It's an agreement that allows a private transnational or multinational investor to sue individual nation states in private investment tribunals for decisions that that state makes, maybe a legitimate public policy decision. ISDS has been around for about 50, 60 years, and originally they were often included in bilateral investment treaties. The UK already has 60-plus bilateral investment treaties, but in the last sort of 10 years, they've been embedded in the new generation of free trade agreements, where there'll be a specific investment chapter. And so they're now an integral part of the free trade agreement policy area. The main problem with ISDS is that increasingly challenges under ISDS are used not because a private investor has been expropriated by a domestic government, but because a private investor dislikes public policy decision that a member state takes. And therefore, they challenge that decision in these private investment courts.
Why does Unison object to ISDS?
There are a whole number of reasons. Firstly, if they're included in free trade agreements, they privilege investors in a way that workers or citizens are not privileged, because investment chapters are legally enforceable in these private investment tribunals, and they allow investors to challenge government in a way that workers, if a government is in breach of labour legislation, or citizens, if a government is in breach of environmental legislation, they can't challenge those governments often because those parts of the free trade agreements aren't legally enforceable. So it privileges private investors over workers or citizens. Secondly, because ISDS takes place in a private court system, these aren't courts run by national governments or by the international community. These are private investment tribunals set up by investment lawyers that don't have an existing body of case law. Each investment tribunal is capable of taking its own decision. It's not bound by case law or jurisprudence. Lawyers can play different roles in different investment tribunals. They can sit as a judge on one and then as a litigant on another, which compromises their role and compromises their position. And very often they're secretive as well. We may know what the final judgment is if a government has to pay out millions and millions of dollars in compensation to an investor, but actually the motivation, the grounds for the decision of a private investment tribunal are often kept secret. For example, in the case of Australia that was sued by Philip Morris, the multinational tobacco company, that cost the Australian taxpayer $24 million Australian dollars to defend in the investment tribunal. And although Australia was able to claim some of that back because they won the case, they only recovered about half of that. So the Australian taxpayers lost out a huge amount of money. And even if governments don't go through the court system, the threat of the use of ISDS against a government often freezes legitimate public policy decisions. And we're seeing that increasingly in environmental cases, because the vast majority of ISDS cases now are being used against countries that try to enforce environmental protection.
Do you have an example of an objectionable use of ISDS?
Yeah, so I've already mentioned Philip Morris. Philip Morris sued the Australian government, not because the US had an investment treaty with Australia, but actually Philip Morris used a subsidiary in Hong Kong because Hong Kong had an investment treaty with Australia. And they sued it because Australia was planning to introduce plain packaging regulations the cigarette on public health grounds, a measure that's been used in a lot of countries, especially in Europe. But Philip Morris tried to prevent Australia from doing it. They sued Australia. They lost it eventually, but it did cost the Australian taxpayer a lot of money. Similarly, here in Europe, we've had cases between European countries. We have the Swedish energy producer Vattenfall sue the German government when the German government decided to phase out nuclear power. And we had a Dutch health insurance company, Achmea, sue the government of Slovakia when Slovakia decided to move from a private health insurance system to a public health insurance system. And actually, that Achmea case led the European Court of Justice to rule that actually ISDS could no longer be used between member states of the European Union. But unfortunately, ISDS can be used by the European Union against countries that it has investment treaties with. And the European Union has tried to negotiate ISDS in free trade agreements with a range of countries.
ISDS was included in a proposed trade agreement between the EU and the US. What happened?
That's right. The Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership was a pre-President Trump trade agreement that the EU was negotiating with the US. That died a death because President Trump was not a great supporter of free trade agreements. The EU is hoping now to relaunch trade agreements with the Biden administration. But we've seen the EU include ISDS in other trade agreements, including with Canada, although it took a slightly different form because of the campaigning against ISDS around the TTIP agreement and the sensitivities that have been raised amongst the European public about the pernicious nature of ISDS. The European Union and Canada proposed a new form of multilateral investor protection mechanism that still hasn't come into force, and that itself was subject to a legal challenge by one of the Belgian provinces in the European Court of Justice. But we're still seeing countries like the UK promote ISDS. The UK has said they want to include ISDS in the trade agreement we're currently negotiating with Australia. We need to remember that ISDS was originally used by developed countries in the global north to protect their investments in the global south because they didn't feel that domestic national legal systems would protect investor rights. There's no justification to have ISDS in the UK-Australian trade agreement because both the UK and Australia have highly developed domestic legislation to protect investment rights based on a common legal system. It's absolutely ridiculous to have ISDS in a UK-Australia free trade agreement. And our biggest concern in unison is actually that the UK will seek to try and include ISDS in the very much anticipated and hoped for by the UK government trade agreement with the US. Luckily, the Biden administration seems quite cool on a free trade agreement with the UK. But our big fear is that if there were such an agreement, it would include ISDS, which would open the UK to major legal challenges from US multinational investors.